Hello and welcome, and thank you for joining us again today. This is your host, Brother T. Glad to be back with you here for the best hour. You can find us at blogtalkradio.com/course mastery. You can also find us at the website of our spiritual community, True Thought Spiritual Community, truethought.org, truethought.org, and you'll find the workbook lessons are also posted there for your convenience. Thanks so much for joining us today, Mighty Companion. Bless you for being here. I'm joined also by my wife. Thank you for being here, Reverend A.
Good morning. So happy to be here. I love these lessons, and I love joining with you and having these conversations.
I do too. Today, we're going to be discussing lesson 43. God is my source. I cannot see apart from him. Before we begin, we're going to join together for a brief moment of silence. Let's come together now as we take a good deep breath. God is my source. I cannot see apart from him. Perception is not an attribute of God. His is the realm of knowledge. Yet he has created the Holy Spirit as the mediator between perception and knowledge. Without this link with God, perception would have replaced knowledge forever in your minds. With this link with God, perception will become so changed and purified that it will lead to knowledge. That is its function. As the Holy Spirit sees it, therefore, that is its function in truth.
In God, you cannot see. Perception has no function in God and does not exist. Yet in salvation, which is the undoing of what never was, perception has a mighty purpose. Made by the Son of God for an unholy purpose, it must become the means for the restoration of his holiness to his awareness. Perception has no meaning, yet does the Holy Spirit give it a meaning very close to God's. Healed perception becomes the means by which the Son of God forgives his brother and thus forgives himself.
You cannot see apart from God because you cannot be apart from God. Whatever you do in him because whatever you think with his mind. If vision is real, and it is real to the extent to which it shares the Holy Spirit's purpose, then you cannot see apart from God.
3 5-minute practice periods are required today, one as early as possible and another as late as possible. The third may be undertaken at the most convenient and suitable time which circumstances and readiness permit.
At the beginning of these practice periods, repeat the idea to yourself with eyes open. Then glance around you for a short time, applying the idea specifically to what you see. 4 or 5 subjects for this phase of the exercises are sufficient. You might say, for example, God is my source. I cannot see this desk apart from him. God is my source. I cannot see that picture apart from him.
Although this part of the exercise period should be relatively short, be sure that you select the subject for this phase indiscriminately, without self-directed inclusion or exclusion.
For the second and longer phase of the exercise period today, close your eyes, repeat today's idea again, and then let whatever relevant thoughts occur to you add to the idea in your own personal way. Thoughts such as, I see through the eyes of forgiveness. I see the world is blessed. The world can show me myself. I see my own thoughts, which are like God's.
Or any thought related more or less directly to today's idea is suitable. The thoughts need not bear an obvious relationship to the idea, but they should not be in opposition to it.
If you should find your mind wandering, if you begin to be aware of thoughts which are clearly out of accord with today's idea, or if you seem to be unable to think of anything, open your eyes. Repeat the first phase. God is my source, and then try the second phase again. I cannot see apart from him. Do not allow any protracted period to occur in which you become preoccupied with irrelevant thoughts. Return to the first phase of the exercise as often as necessary to prevent this.
In applying today's idea in the shorter practice periods, the form may vary according to the circumstances and situations in which you find yourself during the day. When you are with someone, for example, try to remember to tell him silently, God is my source. I cannot see you apart from him.
This form is equally applicable to strangers and to those you know as well. Try, in fact, not to make distinctions of this kind at all.
The idea should also be applied throughout the day to various situations and events which may occur, particularly to those which distress you in any way. For this kind of application, use this form. God is my source. I cannot see this apart from him.
If no particular subject presents itself to your awareness, merely repeat the idea in its original form. Try today not to allow long periods of time to slip by without remembering today's idea and thus remembering your function. God is my source. I cannot see apart from him. And so it is. Let's take another brief moment of silence together. So in the first paragraph that we've read today, you know, we bring the Holy Spirit. And this is important. Especially if you're new to the Course of Miracles, you may have already been studying the text, but a lot of people do begin with the workbook lessons. And here, this introduction of the Holy Spirit, I think, is particularly relevant because he helps us to see that the Holy Spirit is the link between God and us, the intermediary, if you will. As Jesus has said in a channeling in recent years, God chooses not to dream. So I reflect on this a lot, like when I remember my children when they were young, you know, taking a nap during the day. And they're wiggling around or whatever because they're having some kind of a dream. I can't see their dream, and I know that their dream is illusory. I know that they're imagining themselves to be somewhere, but they're safe at home in bed right there in the house, just taking a nap. But they're also not available for me to play with. They're not available for me to commune with, communicate with, to be joined with in the experience of the day. They are kind of separated themselves off into a dreamscape, into a dream experience. And whether the dream experience is, you know, a pleasant one or not, I have no intention of trying to get in there and fix it up to make them happier with their dream. All I need to do is wake them up, shake them a little bit and say, hey, wake up. Dreams have no effect. That's not your reality. Your reality is here. And as soon as they are awake, then we are restored in communication. The Holy Spirit is that link between God and us, not distracted by the egoic mind's perception, which is not knowledge, and it's just a made-up perception of what is based on our intake from our five senses and the intake that we get from the world, its opinion. Ultimately, we begin to understand it's just reflecting our opinions and views. It's reflecting us. It's not the cause, it's the effect. But the interesting thing is that we always have the choice to connect with the Holy Spirit. He also tells us in the textbook, which I think is very relevant and was taken out of the Foundation for Inner Peace version, but he says in that version that the Holy Spirit is nothing more than your right mind. It is you. It's the higher part of you, the awakened part of you, the part of you that's not deluded or confused by the experience of a dream. And so we could say it's almost like the lucid self. And once we get in touch with that self, it helps us to see in a new way. It's been called the vision of the Holy Spirit. It's been called the vision of God. It's been called the vision of Christ. But it is the vision of truth, true understanding. And while we're in this dreamlike experience, we will continue to perceive until we wake up completely from the dream, but we can have a corrected perception. And here he calls it purified, but it's seeing through the perception, if you will, the correction of perception that the Holy Spirit provides us with that helps us to see this as a lucid experience as well. And we are no longer hoodwinked at that point by the happenings and the trappings of the world. And we literally are in the world, but not of it. And as Jesus said, when you see me, you see the Father. When you see me, you see my true self. I become the representation of truth. No longer distracted by an illusory mind of fear and guilt and the misperception of what really is going on. Perception has no function in God and does not exist. Yet in salvation, which is the undoing of what never was, a dream is a never was experience, perception has a mighty purpose. Made by the Son of God for an unholy purpose, it must become the means for the restoration of his holiness to his awareness. Perception has no meaning, yet the Holy Spirit does give it a meaning very close to God's. And that healed perception then becomes the means by which we forgive our brothers and sisters and thus forgive ourselves. God is my source. I cannot see apart from him.
I love that. Thank you for reading that again. That was a section that I wanted to get back to, and I so appreciate what you've shared so far. And what I'm reminded of is this place in the text that describes the idea of perception and knowing. And it describes it as if you are looking at two parallel lines, one of them being perception, one of them, I guess, being knowledge. And that as you, so there's a divide between the two. It's almost like you're looking at railroad tracks.
Yeah, we could say perception and then truth.
Okay. And as you're looking at the two parallel lines, as if it's like railroad tracks and you're standing on the tracks and you're looking and they go straight out into the distance at a very, at the point where your sight diminishes, it looks as if the two lines get closer and closer and closer together. Now, it's an optical illusion, right? If you were down at that point, the tracks would still be parallel. Mm. And yet that is how it is described in the text, that the Holy Spirit heals our perception to be so close to God's that in a way you can skip the track. In a way you can be aligned in the track of truth, right? And so that's something that I find really helpful with regard to this. The idea of the Holy Spirit is something that I was raised with. I was raised Catholic. We would do the sign of the cross, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost would be like the Holy Spirit. And for me, it was like an intermediary, but it was not of me.
Wasn't approachable?
It wasn't of me. Like you said, how it was taken out of the version, you know, that the Holy Spirit is nothing more than your right mind.
Yep.
And so when we add that back in, what I get is that right mind ends up being what I might consider the mind of Christ or the Christ mind. And so for me, the Holy Spirit and that concept of Christ is very close as an quote-unquote intermediary. But when I came to religious science and the science of mind, one of the things I appreciated was that there was not talk about the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. There was talk about the mind of Christ and the Christ consciousness as the Christ principle. And one of the things I appreciated was what I perceived to be that direct contact with God and not needing an intermediary, only then to go to the science or go then after that study, coming back to A Course in Miracles, where now we have this intermediary again called the Holy Spirit. And I resisted that. I'm like, why do I need an intermediary when I have this direct contact? When we place back that the Holy Spirit, that phrase, that the Holy Spirit is nothing more than my right mind, then it really makes sense to me. And I feel that direct connection. But I have to say that when I feel mired in separation, when I am feeling hopeless or lost or depressed or worrisome, the concept of an intermediary is very helpful to me to help me to heal my own misperception that I can't do that on my own. When I'm in that place, I can't pull myself up and out of that. But there is that aspect, whether I call it the Holy Spirit, whether I call it the Christ in me, whether I call it my divine right mind, there is that aspect in me, which at that moment feels like the two parallel lines, very separate, but that can help bridge that gap for me. And that is very helpful to me. So I appreciate the conversation of bringing in this mediator. And in the text, it's the Holy Spirit as a capital M mediator between perception and knowledge, the link with God. Without this link, perception would have replaced knowledge forever in our minds. So I just wanted to add that if anybody is coming from a similar background and anything that you want to say about that.
Well, in essence, I mean, if we look at it a little bit like the sleeping self, mm-hmm. right, and you, right, or to the sleeping self, who you believe yourself to be right now as an awakened human being, the personality self, is to the sleeping self that the Holy Spirit is to this self, right? So, and it's when we look at that, we can say that we are the intermediary to truth of our life to the sleeping self. When we wake up, the sleeping self merges, if you want to say it that way, with who we really are, and we remember, oh, no, I'm safe at home in bed. I've got things to do today, and we remember who we are, where we are, what our life's about, et cetera. The sleeping self is only a limited perception of that,
mm-hmm.
right? Its perception is faulty. Mm-hmm. And when it joins back with us, so to speak, when we begin to wake up, we join with it, if you will. We've been there all along. But now its perceptions just fall away, mm-hmm. and we begin to see the world with clarity, with a corrected perception. So the Holy Spirit is, we could say, the intermediary, the mediator between us and God, God choosing not to dream. But if the Holy Spirit is nothing more than your right mind, then you are the intermediary.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the awakened part of your mind, the part of you that never sleeps.
And then...
or is illusory.
Yeah.
An illusory dream, if you will. Mm-hmm. And so... instead of seeing the Holy Spirit as something other than you, as you mm-hmm. might have in your earlier experiences of Christianity, here we can see the Holy Spirit is us. And so there isn't really another intermediary. The intermediary, the mediator is me.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the awakened part of me that is helping to correct my misperception of my own reality.
And thank goodness that God chooses not to dream, is not in the separated experience. Otherwise, perception would have replaced knowledge a long time ago and we'd be lost forever,
right?
And so this whole return can sometimes feel like it's in degrees, kind of like what you're explaining. And yet... so be it.
So be it.
So be it.
That's right.
We progress and we practice these lessons diligently and with desire to awaken.
Indeed. God is my source. I cannot see apart from Him. And so it is. And thank you for hanging out with us, Mighty Companion. We love you. Stay the course.
Forgive us our illusions, Father, and help us to accept our true relationship with You, in which there are no illusions, and where none can ever enter. Our holiness is Yours. What can there be in us that needs forgiveness when Yours is perfect? The sleep of forgetfulness is only the unwillingness to remember Your forgiveness and Your love. Let us not wander into temptation, for the temptation of the Son of God is not Your will. And let us receive only what You have given, and accept but this into the minds which You created and which You love. Amen.
I send my love over the mountains. I send my love over the sea. I send